The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, turning your Bibles to John chapter 1. We started the series a few weeks ago called Hope is Here, and that's what this is about. It's about realizing what real hope is and sharing it with those who do not have hope. There are many things in life we can hope for. We can hope that the Redskins win a football game, but it may never happen. We can hope that you'll get a good grade in your next class or on your next exam, but if you don't study, it's probably not going to happen. You can hope that your family's broken issues are somehow fixed, and yes, that can take work and it can happen, but many times we hope for things in life that if we get them, they're good for a time and a season, but in a moment, they're gone. If you hope you get the next new latest technology, just wait a month or two and the next one's out and you're already behind. There's all kinds of things we can put our hope in and just feel left feeling empty or falling short. But true hope can be found here in Christ Jesus. Hope Hill Church is about declaring that Jesus is true hope, true life. He can bring true change, true fulfillment, true joy if you allow him to come into your life. That's what hope is about. Today, we're going to continue our series looking at the I am statements found in the book of John. The majority of the statements we've looked at so far, actually all the statements we've looked at so far, a couple weeks ago we looked at I am the light. And we looked at how no matter how dark your life is, no matter what struggle's going on, Jesus wants to help light your way through those dark trials, those dark struggles. He is there to be with you in the midst of the darkness. We looked at I am the good shepherd. Yesterday, I was at Belvedere Plantation, and I saw sheep, real live, sheep, okay? And they were filthy, okay? They were white sheep, but they were not white at all. They were muddy, dirty, disgusting. And what we discovered is in the Bible, we're portrayed as sheep. We are filthy. We have messy lives. We need a shepherd to clean us. And many of us have things going on in our lives. We need the help of a shepherd in our life to take care of us, to lead us, to guide us, to protect us. And we looked at Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And there are some of us that are dying on the inside with depression, dying in discouragement, dying in doubts, dying in the delay. God, where are you? Why have you not answered my prayers? And Jesus said, it doesn't matter what struggles are going on. I can use all of it for good. I can use even your darkest hour, the thing that you pray the most against, even that God can use to bring himself glory if we allow him to bring life into our situations, into our deadness. And he is here to be our hope. Today, the message gets turned a little bit. We're looking at another I am statement. This statement proclaimed by the cousin of Jesus, a guy named John. This is found in the book of John, not written by this John. This is a different John. This guy, John, is a cousin of Jesus. He was known as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist, and he grew up with Jesus. They grew up playing cops and robbers or Egyptians and Israelites, you know. They played together. Jesus always won the games, and John couldn't figure out why, but I'm sure that through life they enjoyed each other's company. And one day when Jesus was 30 years old, John had realized his calling. He knew that he was born for a special reason to point people to the Messiah. John didn't know that his cousin Jesus was that Messiah until year 30 came, and John was baptizing people saying, get your hearts right. Get ready for the way of the Lord. And then one day Jesus showed up on the Sea of the shore of the Jordan River. And John looked out in the crowd and saw his cousin and said, oh my goodness, it's you. And as Jesus approached and told John to baptize him, he was like, no way, you're my cousin, but you're the Messiah. I'm not worthy. I'm not even worthy enough to tie the thongs on your sandals. I'm unworthy. And Jesus said, no, you must do this. Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit came out of heaven in the form of a dove and rested over Jesus. And God the Father spoke and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the hope we have in this man. Jesus is not just a good guy. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good example. There are many religions and belief systems who look to Jesus as, oh yeah, Jesus. Even Awesome just shared with us that even in a Muslim situation, they'll allow people to pray in Jesus' name because Jesus is respected as a good teacher. He was a prophet. But Jesus isn't that. Jesus is God. Jesus is God in flesh. And that is where we start today. So John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have your notes, I encourage you to keep them. Actually, all the time you should keep them and use them to study further. But we're gonna look at a ton of verses this morning. They're all written down in your notes, so you can take them home and dive a little deeper into the study of those passages of Scripture. But let's go ahead and dive in. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Throughout Scriptures, we see that Jesus is not just a good guy. Jesus is not just somebody who came on the scene to point us in the right direction. Jesus is the right direction. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. He is the right direction. He says, I am the truth. There is no truth outside of Him. He is the way, the truth, and He is the life. And there is no real life except through Him. Here we see that Jesus wasn't just somebody that came and was born of a virgin. He always was. Your first thing there, your first note is hope from the beginning. In John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word. That Word is the word logos. It means, for the Greek, it means all thought, all knowledge, all truth. And this is the established statement of saying, if you want knowledge, if you want truth, if you want to know what life is all about, you must know it in the Word. And the Word is who? If you read 14 verses later, John 1, 14, it says the Word became what? Flesh. And He made His dwelling among us. He moved into our neighborhood. The Word, all that's truth, all that's life, all that brings hope, is Jesus Christ and Him alone. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, again, from the beginning, Jesus has been. The Scriptures say that He is, He was, and always will be. In Hebrews, it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, the word there, those three little English letters, G-O-D, are actually translated from the word Elohim. There are many words for God in our Bible. Every time we see them, they say God. We miss so much when we don't see the real word that was translated to English, God. We have Elohim, we have Emmanuel, we have Jehovah, we have Yahweh. There's so many names for God, all bringing a different meaning. This meaning in Genesis 1:1 shows us the picture of the Trinity. Elohim, the plurality of God. Later, John 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. In Genesis 1:2, it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the passage we just read in John chapter 1, it says in verse 3, through Him all things were made. Jesus is the maker, the creator of heavens and earth. He has been and has always been and always will be. Jesus is God, and He is the hope we need. And He has been that hope from the beginning. We can find our hope not just in a guy who's promising good things, but in the Almighty, the author of all life, the creator of all things from the beginning till the end. He always is and always will be. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, it's stated like this. John, the same guy who wrote the Gospel of John, had a few more things to write. That's why we have 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, later in the New Testament. John wrote this. He said, that which was from the, what? It's not on your screen. It's your first blank. Beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, We heard it with our own ears, which we have seen. We've seen him with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. We proclaim concerning the what? The word of life. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. It is Jesus. We saw him, we touched him, we heard him, we lived with him. It is him. The life appeared, which we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with him. That is the whole purpose of why we exist, to know God and to make him known. We have fellowship with him so that we can have help others come into fellowship with him. We have hope so that we can let others know how they can have hope. So we can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. True joy, true hope, true happiness can only be found in Christ. And we have to help people come know where they can find that hope. Your first blank is, Jesus is hope from the beginning. Your second blank, Jesus is hope with us. Another name for God, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the name for Jesus, God with us. Back to book of John. How many of you are doing the John 21 challenge? A chapter of John every day. How many of you want to start tomorrow? You're going to read John chapter 1. You're going to complete the whole book of John in 21 days. A chapter a day, 21 days. How many are you going to do it? Good. Jared's going to go back to college doing it. Donna's starting. All right. Herschelman's together. Sweet. John 21. You want a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ? Read the Gospels. John is a great one. An intimate picture of who Jesus is. John chapter 1 says this. Verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Who's the true light? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but they rejected him. You see, the Jewish people, they wanted a Savior, they wanted a Messiah, but they didn't want somebody born in a stable. They didn't want a son of a carpenter. They wanted a ruling king, someone that would come and put the Romans in their place and set them free so that they could live life their way. But Jesus came to give true freedom and to help them truly be set free from the slavery of sin and bondage, not the slavery from the Roman Empire. But they didn't want it that way, so they rejected him. But it says in verse 12, and this is where our hope is based. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You and I have the right and the privilege to become God's child if we believe in him, if we trust in his name and accept him into our life. We can become children. Children not born of natural descent, verse 13 says, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. The message says he moved into our neighborhood, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. He is with us. And that is our mission as a church, guys, to have that hope, to put our trust in him, but to then move into our neighborhoods, to move into our workplaces, to move into our classrooms, declaring who this hope is, offering this hope for those who are in need of true hope. God with us. That's who Jesus is. And realizing this and knowing this, we then have a mission. We have to realize that Philippians 2:5 puts it this way. In our relationships, our mission is to be like Christ. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, Jesus was completely God. This is a hard concept to grasp. Theologians are chewing on it for ages. Jesus was completely God, but somehow became a lowly human being, born of a virgin, a mere child. Being completely God, he didn't choose to remain there, a God distant from us. How many of you like Bette Midler? I like some of her, but I hate the song From a Distance because it's a lie. from a distance. I can't remember the words. I hate it so much. God is watching us. But the truth is he's not at a distance. God is here. He wants to be in the middle of every detail of your life, to love you, to lead you, to guide you, to comfort you, to be your Savior, to be your light, to be your hope. He gave up that godness in a way to become one of us, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Some versions say something to be grasped or held onto, but instead he let go of that. He lowered himself, becoming nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to even death, death on a cross in our place. He took our sin and our shame upon himself, humbling himself. This is the kind of God we serve. I love those movies when you have that king or that prince who in secret sneaks out and puts on the clothes of a commoner. You've seen movies like that? I love that kind of thing because it's a picture of what Jesus did. He became one of us, not just some distant, removed God. He is an almighty, all-supreme, King of kings and Lord of lords, but he came to us. Hebrews 4:15 gives us a picture of why he did this. It says, we do not have a high priest in Jesus. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our times of weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Your darkest trials, he knows. He's been through it. He went through everything when he went on that cross. All our darkness was placed upon him. And yet he never sinned. He is our hope. And he can meet you in your time of need, no matter where you are. Realizing this, we then should not hold on to this ourselves. If you had the cure for cancer, my hope is you would go out and proclaim it. Oh, I might offend all the specialists out there who think they know what they're doing. You would never think that. And yet sometimes that's what we think. We think, oh yes, I have the answer for life. It's in Jesus, but I don't want to offend anyone. It's better to offend them now instead of have them suffer forever. We need to realize we have hope. We have the answer for life. We need to find a way to share that. That's what happened when people came to know Jesus in scriptures. In John chapter 1, verse 35, it says this. The next day, John, cousin John, not John Cousins. Did you get that? John, the cousin of Jesus. For those of you who don't know, my name is John. My last name is Cousins. Anyway, I did not do that first hour. You got the special joke this hour, okay? The next day, John was there again with his two disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Our job now that we know who it is, now that we know where hope can be found, is to say, look, the Lamb of God. We point people to the one who brings hope. He goes on to say in verse 40, we see another encounter. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John the Baptist say that was Jesus, and he followed him. The what? The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Who is it in your life that you need to bring to Jesus? Who is it in your life that God has put in your circle of influence that you can help point to the one in which hope truly lies? In verse 45, we see another follower. We see a guy named Philip. Philip went out and found Nathanael, and he told him, we've found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What was Nathanael's initial response? Nazareth? Nothing good can come from Nazareth. And many times we are going to get that kind of response back. Hey, we've got this thing going on at my church. Would you like church? No, I've been there before. I don't want to go down that road again. You may get that. There may be questions that you can't answer. There may be defenses that you feel like you can't come up against. But the truth is that we just simply need to let people know the hope that we have and how he's changed us and how we hope that they can find it for themselves. Philip here didn't argue with his brother. He just said, come and see. And that's what we need to do. We may not be able to argue with the best out there. We just need to point them to Jesus and let Jesus do the work. About a year ago, we did a series called A Walk Across the Room or something like that. And Penn and Teller, one of those magician comedian guys you guys know, he's a devout atheist. He's very open about that. But he was telling the story of how one time after a show, he saw in the back of a line people coming up to get autographs, this guy, and he could see even from where he was him holding a Bible. And in his mind, he thought, you know what? Here comes another fanatic Christian here to tell me I'm going to hell. But as he sat there and watched this guy wait and wait and wait for line, he had a change of heart. Now, we can keep praying that he becomes a believer one day. He doesn't say in this interview he gives that he didn't give his heart to Christ, but he said these words, and they should be a challenge to all of us. He said that man was there waiting for all that time, risking possibly being belittled by me, but because he had a belief that his God, his Jesus, could save me, he waited and took the risk to share that with me. And when he came up, I told him I appreciated that. Now, I don't believe in what you believe, but I appreciate you for sharing what you think is the truth with me. Because the truth of the matter is, if he is right, then I'm glad he shared it. If he doesn't share it, it would be like you standing in the middle of a street and a diesel semi-truck coming at you and nobody telling you to get out of the way. That's what we like Christians are when we don't share the hope we have in Jesus. And those are words from an atheist. It should challenge us. Philip said, come and see. I can't answer all your questions. I can't tell you why he's from Nazareth. But just come and see. Guys, we have the same opportunity before us. We're hitting a busy time of year where we can just dive in and get involved in all the stuff going on in our own lives, or we can look for ways to give hope to others. On the back side of your form, we want you to see ways that you can help us provide hope to the world around us. First of all, Hope Hill Church is based on what the scriptures call the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus said, I'm giving you all authority. For what? To go into all the world. To build temples and hope they come to you. Is that what it says? No. It says, get out and live your life among them. Go into all the world. Our mission is not to gather together a Sunday once a week. Our mission is to be out on mission every day of the week. To be out in the world, going to all nations, teaching them all things, helping them find hope in Jesus. Making disciples, baptizing them. And Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the age as you go. We are called in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to be ambassadors of Christ Jesus. Ambassadors don't stay in our own country. We send them to foreign lands in the same way as sent ones, as ambassadors on mission. We are sent out to our foreign lands, to our neighbors. That's not a foreign land. Well, for some of you, it is. You've never crossed your street to meet your neighbor. That's a foreigner. You need to go and meet them and love on them. You need to reach out to your coworkers, to your classmates, to your barista. You need to be hope. We need to be hope. We're called to be agents of hope. Ambassadors for Christ on mission, going into all the world. How can we do this? You do this daily. Ask Jesus Christ to open your eyes. Who around me needs your hope, Jesus? Help me to give the right words. Help me to point them in your direction. Some opportunities before us. Next Saturday, we're participating in an event called iWalk. This card in your handout. iWalk is a Christian-sponsored event. A lot of other outside organizations have got involved. And it's helping support homelessness, help people pay their rent, have people have food on their tables. It's all in partnership with ACTS of Prince William County. And we want to encourage you to come out next Saturday. 10 o'clock in the morning to participate in their run to help raise awareness or walk, for those of you that don't run like me, and to help bring awareness to the situation, to help raise funds, to help support people in need, and to bring hope. This is one great way. Later in the day, we're going to be blessing our neighbors here in Ashland community. We're going to be putting on or helping put on a festival blessing the residents of Ashland. And we would love some of you to come and help run their games. We've been looking for ways. How can we bless this community, the one we worship in, Ashland neighborhood? And you can come out next week. I think it starts at 2 and runs to like 5. Help us run some carnival games. Help us bless the people that live in this neighborhood by just being a blessing. Hey, we're here to serve you. Yeah, we're with Hopewell Church, but we want to bless you. And then a week from then, October 26th, we're going to not have regular service. We're going to have both services come together for a time of celebration. We're going to be able to hear from Pastor Kendry from Cuba. He's going to be here that day. We're going to celebrate. Mary Norton came up to me and said, when can I be baptized? I need to be baptized. We might just baptize her that day. We'll figure it out, okay? And if you want to be baptized, I've heard from a couple of other people who said they might want to be baptized. That's news to our staff. I just found this out myself this morning. I think we could have a great day of celebration, some baptisms, a chili cook-off, moon bounces. It's going to be a beautiful day of just hanging out together and celebrating the hope we have in Christ, October 26th. And then October 31st, regardless of what you feel about Halloween, the people that Jesus has called us to reach are going to be celebrating Halloween. And so we have an opportunity to be in their face, to be shaking hands, to be loving on them, to give them a warm smile, begin building relationships, getting to know their kids by giving them really good candy. Don't be giving out bad candy in the name of Jesus. That's just a sin. But we have an opportunity to bless people. A hot cup of cider, a handshake, a smile, meeting our neighbors and building that relationship, helping them to discover what hope, where hope is. These are ways. And then throughout our season, we're going to begin our adoption of family process. Some of you have been here before. We adopted over 50 families last year. We helped put presents under their tree, food on their tables, coats on their back, warm shoes for the winter. And you'll have an opportunity to be a blessing by adopting a family this year. One great bit of news is Toys for Tots has partnered with us. We don't have to buy any toys this year. All the toys were donated by Toys for Tots. Thousands of toys. And so you can put money into putting food on people's tables by putting warm coats and clothing on their children's bodies and come and get some toys to give to those families in need. It's all coming. And we get to do it together. This is all a part of sharing hope. It's all a part about sharing them with them who Jesus is. My hope is you'll be on mission with us. Let's pray. As we close today, the first thing I want to say is, do you know this hope? Have you personally put your faith and your trust in Jesus? That's got to be where this begins. If you're sitting out there today and you would say, I don't know what I believe about Jesus. You know, you don't have to know what you believe. All you have to do is have a heart willing enough to say, Jesus, show me who you are. Come into my life. Jesus says, if you search for me with your heart, you will find me. And if you're willing to just call out to him today and say, yes, I want you to show yourself to me. Come into my life. Help me to know who you are as my Savior. He will meet you in this moment. God, I pray for those in this room who have maybe never called out to you in this way. And I pray, God, that their heart would just be open. They'd call out to you and say, Jesus, come into my life. I've heard you died on a cross for me to pay for my sins. I pray that you help me to believe that. Come into my life and make me a new person. Help me to follow you. Help me to live for you. I receive you and I believe in your name. Help me to become a child of God. God, I pray for those who are praying that prayer right now that they would know that they're entering into the most wonderful relationship they could ever have, a relationship with you as their loving Father, as their Lord and Savior. I also pray for our the others that are here that maybe have already put their faith and trust in you, but when they look at their life, they would say, you know, I'm not necessarily being the best ambassador I can be. There's areas in my life that are holding me back, and I'm not declaring hope and proclaiming hope the way I should. God, I know I need to be better and a better ambassador, reaching out to my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, those you've placed in my life. Help me to be a better ambassador. If that's you this morning, you would say, I need to be a better ambassador, a better person of hope. Will you just raise your hand right now? God, I pray for those who are raising their hands. God, help us to take whatever step it is that we need to take to be a better ambassador of hope for you. As we leave this place, help us to take one step at a time following you so that we can receive your hope and offer your hope. God, help us to be those people that you've called us to be. As we enter this season of being a blessing to our community, I pray that you help us to declare who you are and how you've changed our lives, and bless in your name and not just simply give out things just for the sake of giving out things, but help us, God, to point people to you. God, move in our midst now. Help us to know that all of this is only possible because of what you did in our place on the cross when your body was broken, when your blood was shed. And as we take communion together today, let us remember and be grateful that you gave us hope because you took our place. Help us remember that. In your name we pray. As I said earlier, I want to pray with you. We have prayer partners ready to pray with you if there's things you want to pray about that have come up in your life as we've talked this morning. We'll have prayer people in the back. I'm up front. Let God speak to you as we take communion. And if you've given your life to Christ for the first time and asked him to come in, let one of us know. We'd love to pray with you about that. Respond as you feel led.